Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned in to Radio Islam International, Medium Wave 1548, listening to us in Johannesburg on our different platforms, DSTV channel 826, and also our satellite decoders around the country. It is time for the Sanha Halal program, and tonight quite a different program. We will be discussing the annual general meeting, which will take place on Saturday, inshallah. And we received a notification from the South African National Halal Authority, who is hosting the AGM. And to tell us more, we have the public relations officer of Sanha, Haji Ibrahim Lockhart, or better known as Uncle Ibi, on the line to talk to us. Uncle Ibi, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana Amin Sahib, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, and yourself?
Gee, well, thank you, shukar, and salams to all the listeners of Radio Islam International.
Jazakallah for joining us this evening. So, the annual general meeting, the AGM. Uncle Ibi, if you can just tell us, what is so important about it that our listeners should know?
Yes, it's a perennial question, and I think the answer is also needs to be told perennially. You know, annual general meetings for organizations such as public benefit organizations and non-profit organizations is a mandatory requirement. It's a legislative thing. It's a statutory thing. So it's something that organizations that are in this field of endeavor normally carry it out. However, since it's a statutory thing, it's more like housework. So people get it done. They have a quorum and they get it done, and that's it. But Sanha, right at its inception over 21 years ago, decided that the founding statement of Sanha would be that they would be transparent, that we would be accountable, we would be credible, and we would be legitimate. And on that basis, they identified the annual general meeting as a core factor to invite the public and actually to take the AGM to the various provinces, where we have offices, and actually engage the public. Now, I can tell you truthfully, Morana Sahib, and I'm sure the same applies to you, that many of us don't go to AGMs. I mean, it's not really, we shouldn't say this, it's an organization matter, and people have it, and they have a quorum and get it over. But since I've been with Sanha, we've made it a mission to actually go out and invite people and talk to them, and that's why we regard it as a cornerstone of one of our policies, and hence the AGM is exceptionally important to us, and it's one of our major events for the year that we host every year.
Jazakallah for that explanation, Uncle. If you just to give our listeners a quick run-up to Saturday, when and where is it going to be held?
Yeah, just before we go on to that, you know, we also feel that it is exceptionally important that when people purport to serve the public, then I think it is also important that they have the courage to stand up before that very public and engage them and deliver them. And this is why our officials on that day will stand up and you know, look the people in the eye and deliver their reports and give them the printed reports right from the chairman right up to auditor's financial statements. Anyway, coming back to your next query, your question was what can people expect on that day? Is that the question?
You know, first let's get into when and where it's going to be held.
Oh, okay. My apologies. It's going to be held this coming Saturday, and the venue is the Nurul Islam Auditorium. I think they have several halls there. I'm just getting the information. It begins at 2:00, and it's in Lanesha. I'm just getting the exact address. I seem to remember it is Oryx and Zebra Street, Extension 5, Lanesha, Nurul Islam, very well known, Saturday, 11th November at 2 p.m.
Okay, now with the word which many in the industry have heard, but few actually truly understand its meaning, and just the direct impact on world industries, markets and production and sales that we've seen recently. Well, they're talking about the halal market being close to $1.4 trillion. On the program of the day, what can people attending the AGM expect?
Yeah, well, look, halal is whichever way you look at it and whichever way you may try and state it, halal is at the end of the day a business. And it's a business that industry worldwide, because a quarter of mankind is Muslims, and Muslims have the added responsibility not only to consume halal, they can't sell what is what is haram. They cannot, they can only sell what is halal, and that in fact sometimes comes up quite a few when we are in conferences, etc., overseas. They say, but you're only 2% of the population, but how come when we go into your supermarkets, etc., we can see up to maybe 50-60% of the products that are carry a halal mark. And we explain to them that our Muslim population, who is active in economically, will not be able to sell products in their supermarkets, etc., that is haram. So it is a huge market, and also the non-Muslim production, where most of the production is not in the hands of Muslims, they value that market as a business, not out of altruism for Islam. They value it as a business. They see it as a business decision, and just as they would go and get a coveted mark of assurance, like the Bureau of Standards or an ISO mark, they regard the halal mark as a very, very important mark in their marketing endeavors, and as such, they pay for that mark. So it is, as you say, a trillion-dollar industry worldwide and locally. So what we have decided on that day to try and dispel this myth, yes, it is multi-million rand income, and our income is in the millions of rands, but so is our expenses and administration and to administer a number of people. So this is why we ask our officials to dispel this myth by inviting people and handing out statements, which we then give to the media to disseminate. We actually hand out audited financial statements, and we ask our chairman, does his address, secretarial reports, all in person, our theological committee report by Maulana Naflaki Sahib, our Amir, our audited financial statements are all done in a very open and transparent manner. So people do understand this. And over the years, alhamdulillah, we seem to not get as many of these, if I may use the word in inverted commas, misguided queries. Once you explain, yes, it is a multi-million rand dollar industry, but you have to, you also expend that kind of money to administrate. So it's important for people to attend and see. And it's, for us itself, it's an encouragement as well, like a graduate on a, on graduation day. We feel very honored to be able to stand up and report on our activities for the year.
You know, just to give our listeners a quick idea of beyond ingredients, because, you know, people just think that, you know, halal is to do with ingredients. Beyond that, the processing aids, modern manufacturing methods, just a quick little fact about that and the processes your officials actually go into to make sure that the place of distribution and everything is halal compliant.
Yeah, it's obviously very, very complex because of scientific advances. You know, our chairman has spoken many a times. He's traced back history, how first, you know, the world evolved with production, where we had organic food, you know, picked up from the gardens, and there was no processing, transport, traveling. But today, if a person looks around in their own kitchen, you'd be amazed to see products come from all over the world. You cannot believe. I mean, you might be sitting in a restaurant and eating meat that comes from Brazil, and you're eating grain that comes from another country, and with it, there's a whole ingredients are added. Some 30,000 ingredients are known to have been added in food to make it look more palatable, to taste easier. It has many different things. You want salt, for example, to run through a container without it being held, anti-clogging. There's a whole lot of factors that come in. And for this, you need expertise where you no longer products are just being produced in one corner of the globe. Today, it's a global society. You've got people like flavor houses that have an immense amount of ingredients and knowledge, and that's the proprietary rights. They're not going to tell people exactly what they've put in, etc. But with the expertise and the type of methods and systems that we have on monitoring, it is a complex job. Alhamdulillah, we have competent people, and it is quite an involved process. And this is why we ask people to sign up for our newsletters. We engage them in outreach programs. We talk to them at places like the AGM. We put out publications to explain the complexities and things that people may overlook. A simple thing like you can go into a place halal, and the owner has no intention, no Muslim, we believe, genuinely goes and wakes up every morning and decides to go and feed somebody haram. But unintentionally, the chicken tikka that you may be buying, the basting brush he's using has got pork bristles. Mm. Somebody has overlooked that. So unless there is a program, unless there is education, unless officials are tasked to go and make sure it's compliant, it's a minefield, and it's something that we feel is very, very important.
JazakAllah for that explanation. Now, just before we get into the finer details of the annual general meeting on Saturday, you speak about Sanha being on a global level in the field of halal. And obviously we know that Sanha is one of the founding members of the World Halal Council that is in conjunction with national certifying bodies. Now, to compete on that level, or while to work together on that level, are these products or anything that Sanha certifies internationally, or is it just the products that have been certified in South Africa and been exported out to other countries?
Yeah, you know, markets are driven by demand. You know, it's not what we want and it's not what the producer wants, it's what the customers demand. And, you know, not so long ago, you know, in our history when we were a small localized community where we were under apartheid, where we were the polecats of the world, where we did not have trading relations with many countries, it was quite easy to deal locally because a local imam could give you the assurance. You knew the butcher, meat was not coming from more than a municipal area. But today, as you rightly pointed out, it is a global business, and globally, the markets are driven by demand. Now, there's demand coming out in all aspects. Countries need to export, countries need to import, there's balance of trade, etc. And countries themselves today are getting conscientized, even some of the OIC countries who are rather complacent. In fact, some of us minority countries were far advanced in them because of the great need that we had to do things for ourselves. They've been complacent, but lately other countries are saying, we will not accept your product into our country unless you have certain standards and certifications. And many countries like Malaysia, which has taken the lead on halal, actually sends out their own auditors to come and audit people like us. We are one of two people in Southern Africa that is approved by JAKIM. So if you want to export into Malaysia, this is their country's requirements. They're not telling us what to do. They're basically saying if you want to sell to our people, you need to be approved by us, and we will approve products from those people that we are satisfied approve. The UAE now has gone on to a big drive, and they have set in new standards, which we have also had to apply for certification. Alhamdulillah, we are, I think, possibly the only body on the African continent. The same as applied. They are now saying that you want to sell to us, we are a multi-million dollar industry, then you expect our standards and we want to audit you. So the whole game has changed, where no longer just a halal logo from somewhere is acceptable. And there are many differences. Look, we're not a Vatican. We don't have one standard in the whole world. You know, for example, on a simple item like poultry, which we have spoken before on your program, you know, you get some countries, Islamically they accept machine slaughter. We in South Africa, they don't. So if there's a halal mark, people won't just accept it. Here in South Africa, if they'll see a halal mark, they want to know whether it's a SANA, or they'll want verification from SANA, is this mark acceptable? So there is this huge shift that's taking place, where the whole world is going towards standard. And this is why we spend a lot of funds and time attending to these meetings in different parts of the world and exchanging programs. We've had, just about 3 weeks ago, we have had people from the Philippines, Portugal, and I'm just trying to think of another country, slips my mind at the moment, that came in and to have some training to look at our standards. And we in turn also have been to countries like Malaysia very recently, comparing these shifts and reacting to them.
Yeah, no, indeed, and especially with the Muslim population increasing and now counting 1.62 billion Muslims across the world,
yes.
What the work Sanha is doing, you know, it's a privilege for us in South Africa to have a body like that. Now, just moving on quickly, Akhlebi, the guest speaker for the AGM on Saturday, something people can look forward to. Can you elaborate a little on this?
Yeah, we have in our format always, from inception, always invited a guest speaker. Okay. And it's invariably, at times it's been there, we've invited somebody with a lot of knowledge on fiqh and an alim usually. Mm-hmm. The reason for that is that we want people to come there. First of all, we want the alim to give a message to us as well. To give a message to us in the first place, that here are all our officials in one place gathered, so we want to hear a message from eminent people, and we've had many, many eminent people in the past that have addressed us, and also to tell our audience, and these are invited guests, they're not an obligation, they don't have a script, they tell things like it is. So We have a guest speaker each year, and we ask for input from all our ulama, etc. And this year we are pleased to report that our guest is Maulana Suleiman Chokshi, and he is from Darul Uloom Zakaria. He's the senior, I think, the Sheikh of Hadith there, and he's a renowned scholar. But one of the most interesting comments came out in the motivation to have him on board was that this man has spent most of his life, the Honorable Sheikh Sahib, has taught so many students, and in turn, they have, in many parts of the world, are imparting their knowledge. So we have a very important guest who's going to have a message. And in fact, we were told that his medium of choice is Urdu. So not to cause discomfort for him, we've arranged for him to give the talk in Urdu, but we've arranged, obviously, translation of those talks as well. So he's a very eminently qualified, long-serving, a truly Islamic scholar of great stature. And we're looking forward to receiving his message to us and the Ummah.
Now, indeed, and I think many of our listeners are going to be looking forward to this AGM coming up on Saturday. Just to give our listeners who might have just tuned in, we have the South African National Halal Authority's PRO on the line with us, Haji Ibrahim Lokat, who is better known as Uncle Ibi, just giving us an overview of the upcoming AGM on Saturday. Uncle Ibi, I'm not going to keep you much longer, but you know, we spoke about the finances as we kicked this interview off. And as we mentioned, that it being a $1.4 trillion annually market, will the Sinha be touching on the finances at the AGM?
Absolutely, Maulana Sahib. In fact, that is one of the most crucial aspects, and that is something that we have identified in the early years of Sinha, and we are very zealous and religiously guard this, that we should be transparent and open, because whenever there is a charge levied, you see, when there is a service being rendered, where organizations rely on donation from the public, the Muslim donor, particularly of South Africa, is extremely generous, far more in proportion than any other Muslim community in the world. And you must have heard this from visitors, etc., who come to our shores looking to build masajids, etc. However, in the case of halal certification, there is a misnomer, and this is why we don't go out for collections. Yes, we do get a very small percentage, possibly not more than about 5% of our income, maybe from grants and bequests and donations. But there is a perception out there that you are charging for a service, so why should we donate? And there is a point. We feel that if business wants the Muslim business, then they should pay for that. So there is incomes. We have over 2,000 organizations that are certified by us, and some even internationally. These range from multinationals like the Nestle's and Unilever's of this world down to cottage industries. They all pay a fee. Now, if you just do some simple mathematics and take 2,000 and extrapolate that with a couple hundred rands a month, you can suddenly see there's income coming in. And that's why when there is doubt, or there is no transparency, myths start forming, speculation starts forming. So we feel very strongly that this meeting, in fact, it's the key part of it. We do get our treasurer to give out the audited financial statement for the year, take questions from the public, and we disseminate that in the media. So most certainly, Maulana, your question is well posed. Finance forms a major part of it, a major aspect, that we certainly will not just touch on it, but we'll expand on it on the day.
No, Jazakallah for that explanation. Uncle Ibi, you know, in South Africa, there are quite a few Muslim bodies, and the separation or the differentiation between Sinha compared to these others, just to give our listeners a quick overview of this, what differentiates Sinha from other halal certifying organizations?
You know, yeah, I think we must also take into account our history and our evolution. You know, we didn't just come off a spacecraft one day and say, here the Muslims came down in South Africa and we all started. We all have come and have evolved in very different ways. You know, the first Muslims came in the mid-1600s in the Cape, and there was an evolution of Muslims out there. They formed their own organization over the years, and then there, 200 years later, there were the Indian Muslims that came out on the East Coast to support the sugarcane industry. Mm. Then in the 90s, we had the third lot of Muslims coming in from Africa, which is a Muslim continent, coming here for different opportunities. So it is unlike, we're not one homogenous group where one person can say, this is what we should follow. I mean, here in Johannesburg, you have the Somali community, you have every, and people are comfortable, and Islam has developed that way. And along the years, this was a fairly good comfort zone when we were in an apartheid era, because we were not importing as much goods and we had different laws to protect us. But with things opening up, we have now realized that there is differences, there are differences. We've tried to merge. That was the founding rationale of Sanha, to merge the bodies. But it's not an easy task. We went from 30 odd bodies a few years ago to about 2 bodies, and then it's gone back to about 5 or 6 bodies, which incidentally we've invited all of them to the AGM to come in. And there are personalities there. There are regional differences. And we said, look, at the moment, even if we can't get them all under one body, why don't we at least try and maintain the same standard? Mm. And in some ways, people like the Malaysian government, etc., are helping us in that cause. Then the other point that we have also always asked as well, if we have more than one body, that's fine. Then maybe the best way is the market will sort itself out by the Muslim consumer. Once the Muslim consumer, like any other product you buy on the market, you want to base it on its performance, its pedigree, its record, its people who you know. And this is what we say to people. Look, we don't want to add to the confusion. We all are Muslims. We accept that there are different people have come from different mazhabs. We have come from different backgrounds. We've evolved differently. But what we are saying at the end of the day, support the organization that you know, you are comfortable with, that your imam supports it, your jamiat supports it, and that particular organization that is making effort to try and unify and give service to the community, that is transparent and open and holds things like AGMs.
Hmm. No, Jazakallah for that. Uncle Ibi, can anybody attend this AGM on Saturday?
Yes, it's open to all. We give out the invitation, as I said, from our service providers to consumers. We've advertised it. It's for Muslims, non-Muslims, anybody with an interest in halal, anybody that wants to come and listen to Maulana Suleiman Chokshi, anybody wants to come and listen to some of the ustads who are in the service of Sanha. Whoever wants to come, you are most welcome. There's obviously no charge, and we will give you refreshments. And it's halal, I might add. I say that in jest.
No, Jazakallah for that. If our listeners might have just tuned in now, we do have Sanha's PRO on the line with us, Haji Ibrahim Lockhart, just giving us an overview of Saturday, the 11th of November's AGM, upcoming year in Indonesia at the Nurul Islam Auditorium. And if our listeners are interested, the Sanha will be demystifying halal, as Uncle Ibi mentioned earlier, and better equipping you as the halal consumer, as they address the following topics and more: what is halal, who is Sanha, halal certification in South Africa, touching on the finances and that. Uncle Ibi, Jazakallah so much for joining us this evening and just giving us the overview.
Before we go on, we must also pay tribute to Radio Islam, who from the very inception of Sanha and from the inception of themselves have brought this service to the Muslim consumer, so much so that we have people from abroad who do visit our offices, etc., who listen to the program on Monday evenings, are amazed that it is so open that children as young as 6 and 7 year old phone in to get queries. And we must also apologize for taking the time of those people who had lots of queries for our Q&A. But it's a service that is, I think it's unique as far as I know. I haven't traveled as much as I think I should, but it's fairly unique. And we thank people like yourselves and our Maulana Bilal and everybody who week after week takes the microphone and engage the community.
No, it's only a pleasure to host the Sanha team, obviously, on Radio Islam International. And we hope that all of our organizations, at the end of the day, serve the Ummah and continue to grow, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen.
Uncle Ibi, jazakallah so much joining us from the Sanha offices this evening. Just telling us a little bit about the AGM coming up on Saturday at the Nur Islam Auditorium. Listeners can't take heed of what was said this evening, and obviously to better understand the halal market and the halal environment, not only in South Africa, but across the world, especially when we travel. From myself, Muhammad Amin, and my team here at Radio Islam, Brother Tahir is sitting behind the engineer's board. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.